Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Maddie B, joined only by Bronell this week. Harv is away on a wonderful holiday. Must be nice. Meanwhile, we're stuck here, not golfing.
19 weeks and we've only had one.
Yeah,
this is our
first one.
That's not bad.
And considering I'm potentially away next week, I could be back to back.
Yep.
Summer months. It's tough. It's a tough life. But in this episode, we're going to recap the Quicken Loans tournament that just wrapped up. And we got a great ultimate foursome this week. And with Wimbledon kicking off, we're going to dive into the realm of tennis.
I don't know if it's great, but
well, it's... I mean, I think these things are all great. So
yep.
Each of them are our own children. And then we're going to get, obviously, our picks for the military tribute at Greenbrier this week. That's a mouthful.
Yep.
Maybe touch on some headlines and get in some tips.
Yep.
But before we get started, just want to thank Player Golf once again, PLYRGolf.com, for sponsoring the podcast. Hit up PlayerGolf.com, use the promo code DriveTheGreen for 15% off. Yes, but Quicken Loans. Frank Molinari runs away with it. One shot off the tour... or the course record
on Sunday,
right? On Sunday,
and he was one shot away from having the biggest winning margin in like 4 years or something.
Yeah, I also saw that he is the first Italian born player since 1947.
Yeah,
like yeah.
That's
71 years.
That's his first win on tour, obviously.
So. Yeah, yeah, which is pretty crazy. But I think he's won a few times overseas, including a couple times this year, even.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's hot.
Man, he put on a clinic on Sunday.
Did he ever, hey?
Like, I sat down basically for the back nine, and he went eagle, birdie, 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 birdie to start the back nine.
Yeah.
And just, like, wrapped it up.
Yeah. Well, and it didn't hurt that Answer, who was playing with the final group, didn't have a single birdie on Sunday. No. Two bogeys and 16 pars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a okay round, but if you're not making birdies... like, what did he drop to?
Yeah, they showed Answer's, like, total putts made, and like, total distance of putts made. And it was, like, 15 feet or something. So it was all just tap-ins for par. Yeah. I don't know if it was that low, but...
yeah, he had 18 putts for 15 feet. Just all up and down
just
for
all,
par.
Yeah.
But yeah,
just pick him up.
It's one of those things where he just got completely left behind.
Yeah.
Molinari was playing lights out, and he just folded him.
And I mean, some of the other guys played okay, but no one even had a sniff.
Yeah, it wasn't even really close.
No.
Especially with Answer, kind of, they had a few shots on the field heading into Sunday.
Yeah.
And then Answer doesn't do anything, and Molinari shoots 62.
Yeah.
So it was not the most climactic tournament, except for Tiger.
No, yeah, but... just one more thing about Molinari. Like, it wasn't climactic, but it was impressive and fun to watch because the guy was just, like, dialed.
Yeah, like, if he shoots 67, wins by four shots, you're not really all that interested in the tournament.
Yeah.
But it was just the fact that, I kept watching because he was playing so well. It's just like, I'm watching to see if he'll get the course record.
I don't know what he ended up with for Gers, but he had 61... through 70 holes,
yeah,
I think so. He probably ended up with 62 or 63 gers, which is ridiculous.
86% of greens for the tournament.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was impressive.
It was just one fairway after another, one green after another. But
and then,
Tiger. I mean, another good showing for him, but
yeah, T4, the mallet putter seemed to be working.
Sometimes,
but I mean,
missed that kick in on Sunday.
Yeah.
On
12
Sunday, or 13, I think.
I'm looking at it here. Sunday, he gained almost three full shots putting. And his week average was 1.1. And I'm pretty sure last week it was like -3.
Yeah.
So he was missing a lot of putts that he could have scored on. But every other part of his game is there.
Like, it's fine. Yeah.
He was hitting a lot of fairways, a lot of greens. And he's starting to make putts. And I think... I could be mistaken,
some, yeah.
I mean, obviously Molinari hadn't started yet, but I think when he was, Tiger was on like 11 or 12, they said he led the field in birdies all week.
He ended up with the same amount of birdies as Molinari.
Yeah. And he shot.
Just made a couple of
10 shots.
Yeah.
10 shots worse. Just made a few more bogeys.
Yeah. Like he made a few long putts Saturday.
Yeah. 35 putter was mixed in there
on Sunday, but that he's putting inside 10 feet, so it's really holding him back right now.
Yeah. It's just incredible to see when any tournament he goes into just. Like those galleries.
The Tiger effect?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it was incredible.
Just like rows and rows and rows of people.
Yeah.
And
no wonder JT is rattled about the galleries. Like that guy just shows up to a tournament. Like you're just praying that he schedules your tournament in.
Oh, yeah.
The crowds are growing probably double
the revenues. Yeah. Absurd.
Yeah. And but I mean, he's putting it together. And
who did he play with on Saturday? That Dahlin or Dahman?
Yeah, Joel Dahman. Yeah, or
with that goofy hat. It was just...
Yeah, what a weird...
He actually played okay. And then I thought, okay, well, he's playing with Bronson Burgoon on Sunday.
Yeah.
Burgoon's going to shoot a million. He actually played pretty well. I think he was under par.
T6, yeah. Yeah. 67, Tiger shot 66. So one shot worse, yeah.
Like these guys are...
Yeah.
Thrown into the den, theoretically. They're playing well. For the most part, it's maybe the older guys that are kind of like they're kind of tired of the Tiger thing. That don't play well now.
Yeah,
it's kind of changed. But
it was a kind of like the Burgoon Dom. It was a weird kind of tournament. There wasn't a whole lot of names up there.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Molinari wins, but like Tiger, the next guy is if you want to put Bo Hostler soon into that. Ricky was 12, and that was like the only guy.
Yeah, he never really had a chance. But
no.
Yeah, Bo Hostler is just bugging me more and more lately.
Yeah, that
they were talking about his attitude on the show.
They were.
Yeah, the broadcast. They were talking about him just kind of looking like a sad sack out there.
Yeah, he is though. Like, yeah, he looks like he hasn't smiled in years.
Yeah.
And he's only a kid, so I mean,
I wonder what his parents look like.
To produce a child like that?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and what did they do to him? Just because he probably just went to the course all the time.
Yeah.
Because he does not look like a happy man.
No. Well, I mean, if Harv was here, he'd be throwing in the stick up the butt comment.
Yeah, but. Well, how can you be happy with that stick up your butt? We almost have to, because Harv's not here, try to, you know, I think he's had a few... common themes going on, like obviously he likes to stick in the butt. At some point here we might throw in Mike Weir.
He loves talking about Mike Weir.
Yeah, the green jacket. So I hope that at some point in time we can bring up Mike Weir and his green jacket and how he wears it around all the time, but who knows, maybe we won't get there.
We might not be able to.
Yeah. So but overall it wasn't I mean, it's golf, right? I mean, part of this the reason why we do this podcast is because we love watching golf, and every tournament's different, and this one was another one. Like, you get to see playoffs, we get to see guys going low. It was just another tournament. I mean, I play DraftKings all the time anyway, so
yeah.
When you gamble on it, you're watching all the time too, doing some research. So.
And, you know, following the Canadians.
Yeah.
A couple up there, and they made the cut at least anyways, but...
Yeah, Hadwin.
We haven't had too many up in the top 10 lately.
Yeah, no, and Hadwin, even to that point, he tweeted out that he's got a couple weeks off here and he's just not feeling it right now.
Yeah, he said he's...
fighting it a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully a couple weeks off will give him a chance to re-energize and put it all together.
Get ready for the Open, yeah.
Yeah, because... Yeah, Hearn and Connors were the top two Canadians at T41.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hadwin was 48.
Yeah, not great. And then Silverman and Taylor were the other two in the field, and they both missed the cut.
Yeah, I think
Taylor was one fourth of from last year.
Yeah.
So we'll try to avoid that. Well, one other one I wanted to point out. Not too many people would notice this, but Jamie Lovemark.
Oh, yeah, I had that written down too.
Jamie Lovemark on Saturday started. Sunday. Yeah. So he started, finished the back front nine, I think bogey to shoot 35 or three over on the front. Then he proceeded to go 8, 9, two on 10, 11, 12, and ended up shooting 10 over on the back, a 10 over 45, so 37 on the front, 10 over 35.
82.
Yeah. To finish dead last by like 7 shots.
Yeah.
Well, dead last after the cut, but.
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine going 8-9.
A pro.
As a pro.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever gone 8-9 before.
I don't think so.
Like maybe when I was 10. I don't know.
Like that's. Oh my lord.
Was that like.
He's probably still. Good thing he's playing this week.
Quad or triple quintuple or.
It was. Hold on. Let me do some investigative journalism here. It was.
Obviously, none of them are a par three.
A triple. And then sing-tuple? Five over.
Quintuple.
No, yeah. Five. Quin? Quadruple, yeah. Quintuple, yeah.
Yeah, quintuple, yeah.
There's the standard. I don't know what I'm talking about for this episode. Ah, perfect. Got that out of the way. Yep. I'm excited.
Do you want to talk about a little bit of headlines? Or?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind talking about Rocco Mediate. Some interesting comments about the winders at the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And then Tiger piled on. So I'll talk about the Rocco one. You can talk about Tiger. But,
sure.
Yeah, Rocco comes out and says, essentially, why is everyone complaining about the course being hard? It's a golf tournament. It's U.S. Open. It's supposed to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, deal with it. If the course gets harder through the course of the day, sometimes courses get easier through the course of the day. It's the same every week.
Yeah.
Guys know that. You start early one day and late the next, or late morning, early afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's nothing new, but and yet all these guys are still whining about it. Like, get over yourselves, essentially. And
yeah, he's not wrong, really. I mean,
he isn't.
Weather's always going to be an X factor.
Yeah.
When you're playing outdoors, it's the same with any sport.
Yeah.
Right?
So, he kind of laid into it, but.
You see an NFL game and it starts raining, well, maybe the better defense is going to have an advantage, you know?
Yeah.
Just the way it goes.
It's also part of the reason why they play the Super Bowl indoors now, but.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, that's exactly the point. Yeah. It's you do hear guys complaining about guys that play in domes have better stats than guys that typically play outdoors just because they don't have
ideal conditions at all times.
Ideal,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Everyone plays the same sport.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of agree. We talked about that on the recap.
Yeah.
The U.S. Open
and golf is the course is the exact same for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like baseball where you have 32 different parks and
yeah, exactly.
We won't get into that, but
and then what did Tiger have to say?
Well, they were just talking to him about the Open, and he said that he likes the Open because they don't really care what par is. They just let whatever Mother Nature has. If it's in store for a wet open, it is. If it's dry, it's dry. They don't try and manufacture an open, he said.
Yeah, whereas the USGA does.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they did.
The reporter who was interviewing him caught on to it right away and was like, oh, so you're talking about the USGA? And he's like, and then I think he just dodged it and left.
Yeah.
But.
Because, yeah, like.
He gave a smile. Like
the open is the prime example of it. Like some of those guys that tee off in the morning when it's quiet.
Yeah.
And then guys that tee off in the afternoon and it's gale force winds and rain and stuff, like they don't care. Like that's just part of the gig.
Yeah.
But
it's been like that for 100 years.
Yeah,
like
150 years or whatever it is. But yeah, it was something else. So yeah. And then back to the other headline that I wanted to talk about was the Justin Thomas thing we were talking about and how, you know, he had complained about Tiger and stuff like that. Well, he had that he had this interview in Barstool Sports, threw it out there. They kind of cut it up a little bit, saying that he thinks, what is it, Euro fans or French fans?
Yeah, he played in that French tournament this weekend.
Oh, right, yeah. And that they're, you know, more respectable and better than U.S. fans, which is not actually what he said. But then he came out and was whining about it. He was like, if you're kind of going to cut up my interview for clicks, at least make it something funny. And then everyone at that place went all in on him. So it was that guy, I mean, for being number two in the world, one for a cup of coffee, man, does he like to be a little bit of a whiner.
He does kind of whine a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's like, imagine if his attitude was in Patrick Reed's body. Jeez. We would never talk about him, but.
Yeah, that'd be the worst person ever.
Anyway, moving on, before we get into the Ultimate Foursome Tennis, just wanted to touch base with Mikey.
Nice.
He's got a one more putting tip. And so for those of you that haven't checked out our website yet, we've started to put some of Mike's tips onto our website, drivethegreengolf.com. This first one's about putting alignment. We're going to throw some of his old ones that we've previously featured up on here. But putting alignment is often one of the most overlooked aspects in the putting setup, especially on the greens. When thinking of alignment, most golfers think about their feet. But if the shoulders and putter face are not square to the target, the chances of holding the putt are drastically reduced.
Mm-hmm.
So very simple drill to do here, and that is purchase a flat metal meter or yardstick, depending on where you're listening from. Find a flat straight putt or even a flat surface at home. Hey, one you can do at home. Put that meter stick on the ground, line up a straight putt, and essentially putt the ball straight down the yardstick.
Yeah.
Very simple to do, but probably very difficult to do.
Because
I yank putts all day.
Oh, yeah.
On the course. So this combined with the heads tails one that we talked about last week.
We've had putting, quite a few putting ones lately.
Yeah, and they haven't helped. Sorry, Mike. But it was funny, we were talking about that tip from last week where you had to identify the heads or tails. I don't think I did it once.
No.
Full disclosure. But I'm going to.
About it.
When we go this week,
yeah.
I'm going to do it, and maybe I will have less than 31 putts.
You might not blow anybody.
Our playing partner, though, that will at some point be a guest on this pod, I had 36 last week, so
hey, yep.
I wasn't as bad as him.
Friend of the pod.
So anyway, yes, Wimbledon starting this week. Might as well dive into the tennis realm.
I never thought we'd go this route, but
yeah. Hey.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Can't see why not. We're really doing it.
We're doing it.
So in true fashion, we're going to take both active and inactive retired tennis players, both male and female.
Yep.
Anyone from the realm of the tennis world. Should we go with Harv first? Nah, let's do Harv last.
Yeah. Well, we don't really have any. We just have a guess of what we think he would pick.
Yeah.
He didn't actually submit his picks.
Yeah, he just... maybe gave us a few like pointers, but
yeah.
We'll pick them for him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you go first then. You want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay.
You got the GOAT, so
okay.
You go first.
We'll lead off with the GOAT. 6'1", 187, 36 years old. I don't know if you did your heights and weights, but...
Nah.
Yeah, okay.
They're all tennis players. They're all the same height and weight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. And actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because some of the other ones that are comparable, they're 6'2", 6'3", 195, 185. Yep, they're all the same player.
Yeah.
Except for my third pick when I get to him. He's an Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. The GOAT, Roger Federer.
Yeah. I mean,
number one.
He'd be on my list if I could take
98 career titles, 20 Grand Slam titles. He's a humble guy. He seems like he's the best dude.
He's cool.
He's a cool dude.
Oh, yeah.
He probably brings some RF gear.
Yep.
Like his brand is pretty awesome too.
Mm-hmm.
He's Tiger. He's essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. The RF brand is awesome.
With no
bad
stuff associated with him.
Like, yeah, he's
just a golden boy.
Yeah. And unlike Tiger's had some injury woes that kind of sidelined him, and Federer's had some injuries, but not enough to sideline him to the point of missing Grand Slams and tournaments and stuff like that. So that's obviously why he is where he is. And honestly, if Rafa Nadal did not exist, he would have 25 titles.
Ridiculous how many he'd have, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the other thing. Nadal will not make this list ever for me.
No.
I get it. He's really good at one tournament. Sure, I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just hate how he can win that tournament all the time. And he's like what, fifth all-time Grand Slams? And he's won one tournament, essentially? Yeah, it's kind of annoying, but... But anyway.
He's like Bubba winning the Travelers all the time.
Yeah. Can't wait for picks. Yeah. But the other thing I'd want to pick Roger's brain on is like his training regimen and how he stays healthy. Because he's the picture of health, it seems.
He's a beauty.
Yeah. Like, big time beauty.
If we had an all-time ultimate foursome, like any...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All categories, he might make my
yeah
my ultimate foursome.
Yeah, I mean... I love his hair too. I really do. Like, he's got a nice set of locks on.
Oh yeah.
I would take that.
It's smooth.
I've grown my hair out a few times and it does not look like that.
Nope.
All starts with the kind of, yeah, like the, I don't know how he gets it to like fall off to the sides, but yet there's no like middle part. It's just like a, it's just a beautiful head of hair. Anyway, speaking of beautiful heads of hair. Yep. Yeah. Hair plugs. Who knows?
Yeah.
Speaking of beauties, second on my list, coming in at 5'10", no weight, 24 years old. The Canadian darling, Eugenie Bouchard.
Nice.
Yes. So obviously, the Canadian.
Yeah.
The Canadian. She's had a rough go of late, but I mean, she's 24 years young. Mm-hmm. So let's not write her off yet. Wimbledon firing up. This is where kind of she burst onto the scene. She's the junior Wimbledon champ of, I think, 2012. And then all of a sudden she blew onto the scene in 14.
She needs to pick it up a little bit lately. She's kind of turned it into a Kournikova, but
yeah, no. I think she just needed to regroup.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I think I'm riding with Eugenie too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah, me too. obviously.
Hopefully it's a hot day. I mean,
yeah, she's the face of Canadian tennis. Big fan of hers. Yeah, not much more to say other than she's a great follow on social media.
Yep.
I enjoy
taking some time. She went on dates with that guy.
Oh, the bet guy.
Yeah.
The 28-3. Oh. Then they were dating. I don't know if they still are.
They went on another one, yeah.
Yeah. I think they might be seeing each other.
I'm going to say. I'm going to hope they're not, but
good for him. Yeah. Good for her.
Yep.
Hey, she found someone.
Maybe.
That's awesome. Okay. On a, and finishing out my, speaking of the Amazon here, and breaking the mold is Milos, 6'5", 27 years old, Milos Raonic. Literally only took him just because I think every time he birdies, he would be like, another birdie for Milos. And every time he bogeyed, then I would obviously go, another bogey for Milos. Just the best. And then, it makes sense because in that episode, they're playing tennis.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't work out any better.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And he's got 8 titles. He's a nice guy. He's very philanthropic.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'll just leave it.
Yeah. All right. Perfect.
Big serve, I mean, maybe he's got a big drive.
He could probably bomb it.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of body to work with. He's got
like a Dustin Johnson type of body,
yeah.
Hey?
Yeah. So you never know.
Or he might just stink.
Yeah, he could be so uncoordinated. Yeah. But I mean, he's a tennis player. He's got to be pretty coordinated.
Yeah.
So I think he'd be all right. I think Roger is a 5 handicap. Forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
So Roger's good at golf.
Oh, of course he's good at golf. Yeah.
He's probably good at everything. Probably hit home
best
runs.
Dressed out there too, for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting some Feds gear. And then, me and Eugenie will just talk life. Girl talk, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Maybe Roger can give Milos some tips, tennis tips.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, Milos has kind of tailed off a little bit too on the on the tennis front. But anyway, that's what I got. I got Roger, Eugenie, and Milos.
All right, you got 3 active players. I got...
Yes.
2. No, I only got 1 active player. But I'm going to start with an inactive player. Probably the... I don't know if he's the most... I don't know what word I'm going to use, but I'm just going to take Johnny McEnroe.
The bad boy of tennis.
The bad boy of tennis, yeah.
Yeah.
He loves a confrontation.
He'd be a great golfer.
There's
like just a guy to
like
golf
imagine
with.
Playing like a game, like a 2-on-2 match with him.
Yeah.
I think I better have him on my team.
Yeah, because I think he would throw clubs for sure.
Oh yeah, he's getting mad.
Yeah. On any errant tee shots, you name it.
And he's left-handed, so it's another bonus.
Oh, yeah. You love your lefties.
He's got 7 Grand Slams. I mean, he's no Roger, but it's nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
What else I got here? He's great at volleying, so maybe that translates to a good short game.
I have reach no it idea. A bit. Yeah, that is a huge reach.
But that's, touch is something.
He's great at volleying.
Yeah, touch around the greens.
All right.
I think it's,
Okay. Well, then Roger's for sure good at golf. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he just have some great stories. He's been in like a ton of movies. He always plays himself in movies, of course, because he's Johnny McEnroe.
Oh, these are, you're just back. You're just on cool things about him. You're not back. You're not still doing translating into Golf Game, right?
No. Okay. Being in a ton of movies doesn't have anything.
That's why I was.
I'm just talking about like being in the cart with him and
He's a sweet dude.
Yeah. My second pick, going with Pistol Pete Sampras.
Nice, the former GOAT.
The second best player of all time.
Yep.
Maybe third now? Is Nadal the second best?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
It's close.
That's the thing now.
Sampras never won a French Open, he.
Yeah.
But
so that's Nadal, obviously what. And, yeah. And Roger's French was not over Nadal.
No.
Which is like the key asterisk.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He's got so many.
Yep.
Fun fact, Pete Sampras is a one handicap.
Yeah, that's nice.
So maybe I'm getting some tips from him. Maybe he's giving Johnny Mack some tips. I don't know.
He's playing against you, though, so that
I got to be on John's team.
Yeah.
But
depending on who your third is, maybe they'll stink and Pete will be good.
Well, my third... I saw you had a lady.
Oh, okay.
And I know Harv will have one because he always does lately in the Ultimate.
It's 2018.
He took Celine Dion.
Yeah, it's 2018.
It's 2018. I'm going with Carolyn Wozniacki.
Oh, for some Rory stories.
It's exactly why. The only reason why, I just want to get the dirt on Rory.
What happened?
What's he like?
Yeah, what's he like? Tell me what he's like. I would be...
What is he like to eat? Just everything.
Harv is probably hoping, when he hears this, that he is golfing at the same time as you guys, because he loves Rory.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd like to know.
And I mean, maybe Rory's given her some tips she can pass along to me. I've seen her swing online. It's a nice swing.
Oh yeah, you did some swing research.
Yep. Yep.
That's something I should probably start doing. Some swing research. I'm gonna write that down.
And I was worried that I wouldn't have three Grand Slam champions, but she just won one in 2018. She won the Aussie Open.
So that's right.
I got three champs in my ultimate foursome. Johnny Mack, Pete Sampras, Carolyn Wozniacki. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
It's tennis. Yeah.
It's tennis. All right. I wrote down a few for Harv here. He did have some input.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. One of which was to not take Venus Williams. And I quote here, "I do not want that 45-year-old looking tween on my team." Which is actually a very accurate description of her.
Very accurate, yep.
But, so he didn't want Venus, but that's not to say he doesn't want Serena.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to take Serena, but Eugenie's my girl, so I have to take her. But first one on Harv's list.
Serena could probably bomb a couple.
The GOAT of women's tennis.
Yeah.
Serena. I bet you there's a lot of lower body there to put into to a golf swing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Harv, we know Harv, he loves
it's all in the hips.
Yep. Fun fact, because she was pregnant and whatever, she's dropped all the way going into Wimbledon. She's ranked 181st.
Serena.
181.
Wow.
When I was watching today, it said she's ranked, like, her number in brackets is 23, which I assume is the ranking for this tournament, but her overall ranking is 181.
That's ridiculous.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Those two, maybe my tennis is not up to snuff here, but I don't know how that equates to being 181 in the world, but yet 23 in the tournament.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It's tennis. So anyway, we got two open spots and three people. So we're kind of unsure here. So we'll just call these the last two picks the same person. But his second pick is 25-year-old, number 4 in the world, Sloane Stephens.
Oh, yeah.
Two American.
We're starting to see a bit of a theme here, aren't we?
Yeah, yes, yes. And we couldn't take Venus, or else there'd be a real theme there. But yeah. Sloane Stephens, number 4 ranked. She just won the U.S. Open, and that's her only career win.
Wow.
Yeah, not bad.
Neat.
So those two.
Yep.
And then the same dude, but I think one will take the cake here. But he's got Andy Murray and Andy Roddick.
Hmm.
Like I said, 6'2", 195 and 6'3", 185. The same guy. But the tiebreaker, Murray has 45 career titles. Roddick 32. Roddick is a 3 handicap, and he's married to Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah. Give me Roddick all day long.
Roddick, yep. Yeah. Plus, and he's probably, I think Harv's probably golfing with Serena, though.
Andy Murray's wife is also.
She's not ugly.
A rocket. Yeah. Yeah.
She's not ugly. But,
he yes. also mentioned, didn't he mention old Dennis Shapovalov?
Yeah, he did. That's how it is. Because we were talking about Canadians.
Yeah.
I have two. Yeah. And he thought one of us was going to take Dennis. The lefty. Honorable mention.
I should have taken Dennis, the lefty.
Yeah, honorable mention there, too.
Yeah. Agassi almost made my list too, but yeah.
I was actually thinking about giving a combo name here of first name, last name, but it really was thrown out the window when they're both named Andy.
Yeah.
So maybe one's Andrew. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Murdick. He gets Murdick.
Andy Murdick.
Andy Murdick. That's a believable name.
Yep.
For sure. Anyway, so yeah, that's Ultimate Foursome tennis. Interesting.
Yep. Let's.
Who do you think is going to win Wimbledon? I don't think Serena's winning.
No.
She looked pretty shaky. But you never know.
I'm going on a limb. I'm going to say Cilic is going to win.
Cilic?
Martin Cilic?
Marin?
Cilic? Marin? Marin?
Yeah, I think. Cilic? Is that why. Just because you know that name?
I just saw he was the third ranked
oh, yeah,
perfect. Player. So.
All right, so you got Cilic. And I think Sloane Stephens is going to win Wimbledon.
Hmm.
The women's. You know what? Eugenie's winning. Yep.
Put some money down on that.
Yep. You got her. All right. Let's, you know what? I'm feeling good about this. I have a good feeling about picks this week.
Pick review?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. Well, you should feel good because you won.
With one of the lowest averages of the year, I think.
Not one of the lowest. I had 12 once, but.
I think 20 is the next.
It's up there.
All right.
You had Ricky Fowler, 12th. Chess and Hadley tied for 8th. Great pick. And then Ann was 41st for a 20 average.
And Ann was up there. And yep. Then he had a terrible
Your
Saturday.
Your 6th week win. But you didn't pick the winner like I did.
By 8 shots.
Frankie Molinari, what a pick. Too bad Kyle Stanley stunk it up on Sunday and finished 32nd. And Ling Mertz finished 48th. 27 average.
Good effort.
Yep. Helps my season average a bit.
Yep. Well, it definitely helps mine. I think my season average was like 50.
I'm definitely first in season average and lowest.
Maybe you can do that for next week.
I will, yep. And how about Harv?
Oh, boy. No wonder he skipped. He went on holidays. He's just so shitty.
Good thing he switched to Tiger and got a 4th place finish because his other two picks both missed the cut. JB Holmes and Matt Jones. Yeah. Why did he pick Matt Jones?
I don't know.
51 average.
And his other pick was Howell, who I think was like 23rd or something like that. So Tiger
should have kept Howell over Holmes for sure.
Yeah, but wow. So we might as well breeze through Harv's picks
for the Greenbrier.
Yeah, or do you want to talk a little bit about the tournament?
Well, I mean,
yeah, sure.
Not much to talk about. Eh. I just want to say Xander Schauffele won his first title last year here.
Mm-hmm.
The old white course, old white TPC it's called.
Yeah, and it was the one that got completely washed out. It was in 16?
16, yeah.
Like complete, like full-fledged river running through the entire course.
Yeah.
Canceled the tournament.
Yeah.
Poor Bubba. He was so sad. I remember his social media posts.
Poor little Bubba.
Poor Bubba. And knowing Bubba, he cried.
Oh, yeah. And probably thought about retiring or something.
Yeah. Did he say he was going to retire after his first win this year and he's won two more after that?
Yeah, he said, and then he said he's going to retire after his 10th win. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he's got 12. I think it was he was crying after his 10th. So.
Yeah. Yeah, this course is old, hey? Opened in 1914.
Ooh, wow.
Yep.
The oldest of courses.
Should I rip through Harv's picks?
Yeah, let's rip through them.
Okay, he's going with the first guy ranked in the power rankings, Tony Finau. Can't really blame him for that pick. He went with JB Holmes again. He just missed the cut for him. what a weird little guy.
He's playing the averages for sure.
Yeah, JB's a course horse here though. Hey?
Yeah.
And then he went with Ryan Armour. Solo second last week.
Solo second, yeah.
Played well.
Again, a product of Answer falling apart, but he played really well.
Yep.
That's the other thing. I mean, I don't know if he's trying to go with guys don't finish second then first. So he's obviously just playing for the cut.
Yeah.
What a coward.
He hasn't won in a while. Suck it hard. So.
Yeah. He hasn't.
I'll go next. Okay. I'm going with Russell Henley, another course horse. He's got quite a few good finishes here. T6 at the Travelers. Back-to-back fifths at Greenbrier.
Oh, wow.
Actually, he was T15 at the Masters and T25 at the U.S. Open this year. So.
Yeah, he's playing well.
Yep. Jimmy Walker. I don't know why. I keep taking him. He finished T18 here last year with Lyme disease. Like, mid-Lyme disease.
Just imagine what he could do without Lyme disease.
Well, he had three top four finishes before that here. So
wow.
He likes this course, too. He's cooled a bit lately.
Yeah, he has.
He was hot there. But my third pick, Ryan Blom. Know him?
Yep. Well, I recognize the name.
Yeah, he's been good lately.
Mostly due to, like I say, I'm familiar with a lot of these no-name guys because you have to find value in... Drafting, your DK picks. Yeah.
Well, he was seventh last year at Greenbrier, so I'm going kind of with the guys that have been hot here. Yeah. And then he was 23rd at the Quicken, a couple other good finishes this year. Good sleeper, I think.
One thing before I get into mine, Webb Simpson has three top tens in his last six appearances here.
Yeah.
Not taken.
I was going to take him, but he missed the cut for me when I picked him last.
So you went with Jimmy Walker, who also missed the cut?
Nope, he didn't miss the cut for me.
Oh, all right. Well,
but close.
So recap your picks once more.
Russell Henley, Jimmy Walker, Ryan Blom.
Nice.
Three Americans.
All right. Well, I'm going lefty, lefty, lefty. I'm taking Bubba, the member of this course.
You can't just take all my lefties.
Sure I can.
Well, I guess.
So Bubba, the three-time winner on tour this year, going for player of the year. He's a member here. If there's ever a time to win four in a season, it's right now.
You love taking Bubba and Reed and Hostler. And
yeah, the emotional hedges.
DeChambeau. And
if the guys are going to win, I'm at least going to enjoy them winning. Because if we don't pick them and they win, then you're just completely upset.
That's true.
So that's why I keep taking them.
Yeah.
Then I'm taking the lag, Guy Lags, Brian Harman.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's a beauty.
Mm-hmm.
He is still like no one talks about
guy him. Makes cuts too.
Guy makes cuts. I mean, I think I want to make him a friend of the pod. I really wouldn't mind having him on.
Oh yeah,
just talk about how like what is his recipe for success with the lag putt, because I stink at them actually. Yes, I do. If I can get a lag putt within 15 feet, I'm happy. That's how bad I am.
If you got like a 50 footer.
Yep. And then lastly, my third lefty, I'm taking Ted Potter Jr.
Wow.
Guy won here in 2012. He won in 2012.
That's crazy.
He had a great week last week.
Yep.
But he's got a win this year at Pebble Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
I love Ted Potter Jr.
Yeah. He is a golfer's golfer.
So I can't believe you went with three lefties.
Three lefties. Bubba. Oh, should be noted that I had Brian Gay on here. Brian Gay was my third pick until you told me that he was on the power rankings, because he was 15th and I don't look up that high. I only go with the guys in the top 10.
And why is he on the power rankings? Yeah. I mean, yeah, he played well last week, but
big shout out to PGA Tour for power rankings every week, because if anything, when we miss cuts, it just proves that I said this last week, mm-hmm. that their power rankings are shit.
Yep.
Because we keep taking guys off of them.
They had Franny Molinari on there last week.
Oh, yeah. He was up. I think he was up there.
Yeah.
He might have been like two.
Top five, I think. Yeah.
So they're doing something right.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it. I enjoyed the tennis one. I'm excited to see. Wimbledon will still be on next week when we do it. So
yeah.
We'll update where our peeps are at. And, you
better be careful or this is going to turn into a tennis podcast.
Oh, yeah. Too many Wimbledon
Better be
updates.
Careful.
Hey, Country Club podcast. There you go. If you're gonna like golf, you better like tennis.
Yeah, a little curling in there, maybe.
Yep. Winter sports. So that's it for this week. Until next time, it's time to hit the clubhouse.